Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is a gray, drizzly day today, and it's going to be that way for most of the day. Maybe some sun around 3, 4 o'clock, something like that. But highs only in the upper 50s, and that is going to be right before sunset. So it will be chilly today. Then tomorrow, highs not as warm as, well, if you want to call it warm, a little chillier than it was today. That'd be a better way to say it. Cloudy highs of 54. 54 for a high on Wednesday with a 50% chance for showers. Likewise on Friday. And then Friday rather warms up a little bit, highs of 67. Then Saturday, this is where it turns cold. The Saturday and Sunday, not too cold. Highs in the 60s with a 70% chance for showers, clouds on Sunday. I'm not trying to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but next week they got some cold weather coming. And we're talking about freeze precautions, probably both sure. So you might want to start preparing yourself now so you are not out there, as most of us are, with a flashlight in our teeth or around our head trying to tape everything up and protect everything the night before the freeze. January is National Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and prevention is everything. And detection, early detection and prevention is everything when it comes to this. So we thought we'd talk to Dr. Donna Williams, Associate Dean for Public Health Practice and Community Engagement at LSU Health New Orleans. Good morning, Dr. Williams. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. You know, we want every woman to understand that cervical cancer, no woman has to get cervical cancer, much less die from it. So I'm really happy to be spreading that message.
That's why we wanted you to come on, because is this something that, I hate to say, flies beneath the radar, but maybe doesn't have the awareness that it should?
Yeah, I mean, we see breast cancer events constantly, and we see less and less around cervical cancer, which, again, is a little concerning, given that we want women to understand that they do not ever have to get cervical cancer. We've got great tools to keep that from ever happening.
How common is it, and what are some of the symptoms of it?
Well, symptoms... We may not get symptoms until it's pretty far progressed. So we don't want to even get to that point where we're talking about symptoms. But they can be pain, bleeding, things like that. As far as common, cervical cancer has been one of the leading causes of death in women, young women worldwide. But again, now that we have those great tools, we're seeing less and less of it. But we actually have the capability to eliminate cervical cancer.
Tell me about screenings. Who should get screened for this?
Women should start getting their screenings at age 21 and have those discussions with your physician. There are a lot of different ways to get screening. Most women are familiar with the Pap test, but there's also a swab test that can be done to check the cells. And now for women that don't really want to get in the stirrups or are having difficulty finding a gynecologist in Louisiana because we do have a shortage, the FDA has approved self-collection in the office. So a woman can go in the bathroom, collect the cells herself, and put the swab in a little tube and give it to her doctor and have it tested that way.
What age, doctor, should screening begin?
21.
21. And what kind of progress has been made, I guess, in terms of prevention?
Well, we have had the HPV vaccine for over a decade, and it's very safe. It's extremely effective. Scotland recently did a study where they looked back since they started vaccination in their national health system, and they have actually literally had zero cases of cervical cancer among the vaccinated. So it is an extremely effective vaccine, and it is extremely safe. That vaccine is recommended at about age 11 or 12, along with the other vaccines in that age group. And you can do catch-up vaccines at least through age 26. But if you're older than that, discuss it with your primary care physician. There may be indications for you to do a catch-up vaccine with that.
When you said we don't want to talk about symptoms, and I understand that about the importance of early screening and detection, but let's talk about when we come back, precancerous conditions, the way you detect those and treat them, and also about maybe we can eliminate this type of cancer. Can you expand on that? We're talking to Dr. Donna Williams, Associate Dean for Public Health Practice and Community Engagement at LSU Health New Orleans. We do have a lot of lady listeners, and we also want the gentlemen to be aware of what's going on as it relates to Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, so maybe you can pass the message along, too. The lady in your life, or maybe even daughter if she's over 21. 720 traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Monday morning, January 13th. Streets are wet. Be safe, please. And it's going to be chilly all day. Dr. Donna Williams is our guest, Associate Dean for Public Health Practice and Community Engagement at LSU Health New Orleans. January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and we're talking about the importance of screenings and advancement in treatments and new research. Doctor, before we continue the conversation, is there a website where women can go to find out more about everything?
Yes, they can go to louisianacancer.org, and they can even find on there information on how they can get some assistance with accessing screening.
So when it comes to precancerous conditions and treatment, how effective is that?
Well, the wonderful thing about the two tests that we have for cervical cancer is they also detect the conditions that would lead to cervical cancer. So it's amazing that we can detect these things before they ever become cancer, when they may be leading up to cancer. And then if we detect it that way, what we call precancerous conditions, the treatment is quick and easy in the doctor's office, and the woman, again, never has to get cervical cancer.
Let's talk about the HPV virus it is, and vaccinations and the importance of that. Doctor, if we can, please.
Sure. We know that cervical cancer is caused pretty much completely by a virus that just about everybody gets. And this is a shout out to our guys out there as well, because the HPV vaccine is for men as well, because the HPV causes a number of cancers. And so we know that the vaccine is extremely effective. It's two doses, 1 year apart. And so we want to get those early on in adolescence, when the immune system is primed and ready to fight that off, and we can prevent a whole group of cancers with that vaccine.
Who should get that vaccine, Doc? At what age?
Boys and girls at 11 to 12, but there's a catch-up period if they miss it during that. The catch-up is recommended through age 26, and there are some people have a chat with your primary care physician, because even after 26, you may be benefiting from the vaccine.
Is there an age at which women don't, or men don't, have to worry about the HPV virus?
Well, just about everybody is going to be exposed to the virus in their lifetime. So there isn't a cutoff when you're no longer exposed to the virus. So for women, we want to continue getting those tests, one of those two tests. And the good news is it's only once every 3 to 5 years now for most women. So we do want to continue getting those at least through age 65.
Any final thoughts, Dr. Williams?
I just want to encourage every woman. It's not the worst thing. And now with new tools that we have and the self-collection in the office to keep up with those tests, we don't want to see anybody have to go through chemo, have to go through radiation surgery for cervical cancer. We want you to live a long, happy life.
Amen. And the website one more time, Doctor?
LouisianaCancer.org.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, Donna Williams, Associate Dean for Public Health Practice and Community Engagement at LSU Health New Orleans, January Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. So take the necessary precautions. We take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Time for Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa. We take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. 7:30 on a button. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. 7:44, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday morning. That's when we talk to Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, about a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. We call it Monday Morning Markets with Mark. Now, on Friday, we talk to him about your personal finances. We call that Managing Your Money with Mark. And I mention all of that because the two are going to kind of overlap today. And with that, we welcome in Mark Rosa. How you doing, Mark?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am good. It's a little chilly outside. You love this weather, don't you?
Anticipate. Look, my phone said next Monday and Tuesday it's going to be 20, maybe in the teens, mm-hmm. in North Covington next week. So it's T-shirt weather.
Yeah, you'll be out there on the chaise lounge getting some sun.
That's it.
Tell me what we're going to talk about today. Valuation and how it overlaps with what we spoke about Friday. And I will say this, for those of you that missed the conversation, go to WWL.com. You can click on my name and you'll find the audio posted. But with that, Mark, please proceed.
I mean, you know, a lot has happened just since Friday. We opened talking about valuation, and we were reading from an article that where a Fed governor came on and said, you know, the financial markets are priced for perfection, meaning that they're at levels that might be unsustainable depending on what the economic news comes out, depending on how this is going to shape itself going forward in 2025, realizing that a lot has gone on already, but a central difference will be, obviously, we have a new president, a new administration, and how are they going to do things? And at least from what they said, so people could get very encouraged that the economy is going to move forward from here. But then you've got the Fed, and the Fed is sitting patiently right now wondering what inflation is going to do, because you know they're going to step in if it gets out of hand. So when we were saying that the markets were priced for perfection, I go back just a little bit about a year ago. I'll fast forward through this, but there was all the anticipation and the rates falling. Seven rate cuts, 8, 9, 10 rate cuts, and it boiled down to 4, 25 basis point rate cuts. It started in September. Well, the markets being anticipatory, they wanted those rate cuts coming in. When interest rates go down, it tends to push asset prices higher. When interest rates go up, we can count on asset prices to come down. So that's the price of money. If it goes up, it slows down the economy. It's like sand in the gears. That's what people are worried about. If the Fed is going to come back and start raising rates. Well, nobody wants to talk about that. It's in the lowering rate cycle, and that's what we've experienced since last September. So what happened with those cycles when they were dropping rates? Well, the market went up, hit all-time highs. That goes back to the article and what the lady was saying from the Fed, saying, oh, this is perfection. The Dow hit 45,000 and change, closed there at a new all-time high. And since then, it's been kind of wobbly. Some other economic news has come out to kind of take the Dow off of its high, and it 42,000 right now, and I think it's going to open up down about another 100 numbers that I was looking at just a few minutes ago. But as far as what happened, just as soon as we hung up Friday, the jobs report came out for December, and they were expecting, Wall Street was expecting 155,000 new jobs, and 256,000 came out instead. The unemployment rate dropped from 4.2 to 4.1. It was sitting at 4.2 for several months. And we would say, oh, this is fantastic. The job market is healthy. People are finding work. Maybe some companies are expanding, not all, but it drove the unemployment rate down incrementally. And normally we would say that that's good news. Well, the market didn't like that because it knows it's going to invite the Fed in to watch a little bit more closely. Over the weekend, the Fed said, I think we're going to take any rate cuts that we previously were talking about. Previously, just 60 days ago, they were talking about two interest rate cuts for 2025, and now it's like we're not going to cut at all. Bank of America economists came out and said, forget rate cuts. We're going to be looking at rate increases. So they're putting a bet on their portfolio to for the economy to slow down potentially if the Fed is raising rates, asset prices to come down. So we'll take a little steam out of that perfectly orchestrated financial market. So we might see the Dow and S&P come down. That's going to touch our 401ks. And it's, well, then we're back to Fed watch. Well, how far is it going to go? How much are they going to increase, if anything? And a lot of people would say, well, no, don't increase. Let's just leave it alone and let the economy go forward and see what the new administration's going to do. So that's what's happening. But the anticipatory stock market has already pulled back. The bonds, the 10-year Treasury bonds have started. They were trending down when interest rates were going lower. That was from March of last year, bottomed out around September, and it reversed its course. So from September, the conversation in the bond market was, this thing might run out of steam. When I say this thing, that the Fed action is going to run out of steam, and the market might be too priced for perfection. So that the 10-year bond is back up to about 4.8, up from a low of about 3.7. So the market's already saying, I expect a higher yield on my investments, on the fixed income stuff, the bonds. We're expecting a higher yield because the economy is accelerating, and the Fed might step in and start raising rates. So I say a lot to say this, that a lot of people, I'll hear it from people, well, look, the Fed is going to stay put, so rates should stay put. And that's not the way it's gone. We had 5% 30-year mortgage rates last August. Then the bond market starts to reverse. It turned out that they crept up into the sixes. Now they're solidly, they would touch seven toward the end of last year. Now on WSJ, WallStreetJournal.com, 30-year fixed rates are about 7.30. So we're comfortably in the sevens right now, and it's not good news for home buyers. People wanting to refinance, do any renovations to their home, they're going to be borrowing money at higher rates. So that was the stock market coming back. The Treasury yields have backed up. Bank of America, let's see what else is happening this week. Last week, the Institute of Supply Management, on the good side of things, the services index, still expanding, because every time we report on income, then the expense report or the spending report comes right behind it. Just about every month last year, income went up and spending went up. So the Institute of the Services Index has been going up very steadily. That's been good news, but again, we don't want it to overheat. Job openings for November increased from an estimate of 7.7 million, now 8.1 million. And we're in earnings season. So that's going to start off this week when the big banks report, expected to be good reports. So banking earnings, if up, their stocks should be going up. But Wednesday and Thursday, everybody's going to be focused on the CPI and the PPI. Tom, the Consumer Price Index for December is coming out, expected to be up 0.3%. That's 2 months in a row that it will be up 0.3. And we're saying, well, that's not a lot. Well, after you annualize it, multiply it by 12, that's a 3.6% annual rate for consumer prices, way higher than what the Fed wants. They want the number to start with the 2. And in the best day, they want it to be a low 2. So the CPI year over year is expected to rise from 2.7% to 2.9%. And we'll get that news on Wednesday. And the PPI, it's the same thing. It's expected to go up by 0.3%. And year over year, that's at 3%. So inflation news is coming out not to our best, not in our best interest as far as asset prices, what the market is going to do. And it might get the Fed to stand up and start talking about rate increases again. But the market is already, it's signaling that right now. So we can't be surprised if some of that news really comes out.
Let me take a break, Mark. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Some very valuable information. 752, 8 till 8. Traffic now, WWL. 7:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday morning. This is when we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. We call it Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. So, Mark, and again, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's why I'm asking the question. But when it comes to jobs report, you would think that that would normally be a good thing for the stock market and for Wall Street. And they'd say the economy's rolling. Happy days are here again. However, when you factor in the Fed and inflation, then not so much, right? So sometimes this information can be counterintuitive or not?
Absolutely. When good news is bad. Mm-hmm. And if we reached, I think, lows to satisfy the Fed, they would let it come up a little bit. But if it's just December, we're going to get the news out this week, and December is going to be close to 3 on both the CPI and the PPI. you kind of know what's coming. I mean, Tom, you know, I said it many a time, it's hell to be on FedWatch. You want them to go to sleep for like 10 years when the economy is doing wonderfully. And we had periods in the economy like that when average inflation was 2.4, 2.5, didn't have to talk about it. The economy was going decently. Then comes in COVID. And what really brought us here is when they started printing money and handing out a lot of money. Okay, it ignited inflation, and it's going to be hell to bring that down to a sustainable level. And, you know, we just got so many new irons in the fire, new administration coming in, like I said, and how the economy is going to unfold out of different policies. Everybody's enthusiastic. This is going to be fantastic. You know, the unemployment rate is already at a fairly low level at 4.1%. If a lot of jobs are created, again, that's good news. People get to go to work. They earn this thing called a paycheck, and then they turn around and spend the money. So it's just doing the normal things in life. But is that going to be enough to ignite inflation in a, with some significance? And then the Fed's going to feel like, well, we've got to stand in. We've got to start throwing. I mean, they're the ones that take the punch bowl away at the party, and that's their job. And they're going to put some sand in the gears of an economy that might be, quote, overheating. That's, you know, we'll see that over the next couple of months. But that's, the market is anticipating that as the Dow has sold off. Bitcoin is at a 2-month low. If anybody that's into crypto, they probably noticed this already due to assets or selling off. So we have that in bond stocks and some crypto shares.
So bottom line, and I know this is a huge thing to put into one basket, but bottom line for people that are concerned about their 401k, 20 seconds that are left, you would tell them?
Well, know what you're investing. Again, if you're 30 and you're 60, that's two different answers. So if you're 60 plus, know what you're invested in, and can you take a 10% hit, a 15% hit, a 20% hit if the averages fall that much?
Thank you, Mark.
You could take some. Yep, that's it. You could take some preventive measures. Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you. Very valuable information. We'll talk to you Friday again as we help you manage your money with Mark. I'm sure a lot of this will overlap. To that, we come back. We'll talk to Alex Hammerstone about your iPhone eavesdropping on you. We'll talk with J.P. Morrell about the situation in New Orleans. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.